Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
There we go. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted, by the way.
We're always exhausted.
Friday, it was very busy today. Mind you, having said that now, very busy, but very nice because we had bagels.
We had loads of bagels. Oh, my God, the bag of bagels I have out there. Jesus.
I'm full of bagel.
Proper bagels.
I'd say I'm a solid 65% bagel.
Good, yeah, that's what you're supposed to be.
I've eaten so much of them.
And the proper bagels, maybe a proper New Yorker, because you can't get good bagels here. As she says, there is no such thing as a bagel in Ireland. It's just a bagel-shaped bread. And they're shite. They really are shite.
The ones you gave us are so good. Anybody who was listening who was thinking, can't be that different. It is very different.
Massively different.
Very different.
Honestly, it's the difference between chicken and fish. There's
a load of them out there as well that we're going to take home.
I stashed the whole bag.
Flavoured ones and everything and all sorts. And schmears. I never even knew schmears was a thing.
I don't know what a schmear is.
It's basically a spread.
She said it like 8 times. I was like, I don't know what it is. And now it's too late to ask. I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Come here, so that's a New York thing, right?
It is,
bagel is a really classic New York
huge
thing.
The Jewish community brought it in.
You know
there,
when you go over to the States in at Christmas time and all that, when you head off or whatever, what's the Boston, is there a Boston equivalent?
Donuts. They love it. The Boston creams and all that.
Oh my God.
Now bagels are huge there as well. It's a big thing in Boston as well.
Right.
But they're donut people. They're very much donut people. It's the biggest difference between Boston and New York, I think, you know.
So does that mean that Boston also has the most number of cops?
It has a lot of cops. Dunkin' Donuts is huge over there. Like, it's so big.
A mad association.
The cops and donuts,
cops and donuts.
Yeah, because they'd rather... who wouldn't want a donut rather than dealing with some burglar or a criminal or some mad head that's going to shoot you or something?
Every time. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's different nowadays. But when we were watching stuff growing up or whatever, an American cop show.
Yeah.
Invariably, every cop's cup of coffee and donut was interrupted by a call to go to the scene of a crime.
Always. You'd nearly think, I'm not going for a donut. Every time I sit down for a donut, someone gets shot.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the symbolism of the hole in some of the donuts or the bagels. Maybe that's where it came from.
Symbolism.
Yeah, although they don't do ring donuts over there, really, do they? It's all the big fat jokes they do with the fillings and all.
Do they even regard our donuts as a donut?
Ah, they do, but they said they're seen as sort of foo-foo donuts, I think, you know.
like
French. They're seen as French. It's like, look at the French of ruined now. That's kind of the American attitude.
Speaking of which, because we were doing the stuff on the show earlier on about the New York bagels and all that, and the reason being that the lady who was in with us, Kieran, was saying that, you know, she literally had to invent them or create them because she couldn't get a good one in Ireland.
Yes.
And then Louise, who works with us and who is French.
Who's French? She is from France, really from France.
I said to her, God, you must have found it the food, like coming to, you know, from a French culture or whatever, coming to Ireland, you must have found the food a bit challenging. She just went, oh yeah, it's shite.
Amazing, isn't it?
And now, to be fair to her, she did specify things like, say, cheese or whatever.
Well, which is rich coming from her, because there was one big lump, and I mean a huge lump of blue cheese that we were using to put on one of these particular types of donuts earlier. And I took a huge lump and put it on the plate, so it would be enough for you, me, and whoever else came in, you know. And then it was gone. And Jim goes, are you after eating, to French woman, Louise, are you after putting all of that in your bag? And she goes, yes.
I didn't think anybody else
would
want it.
I didn't think anyone would like it, because nobody likes blue cheese. It was like, nobody likes that much of it. I mean, if you have a smaller bit than that, maybe.
Yeah,
it was an incredible thing to watch, yeah.
And the thing about it is, as you and I well know, because we've partaken enough times, like, there's loads of Irish things that, you know, we've been priding ourselves on the food, the Irish food thing, and cheese was one of them.
Remember
we did the tastings and all?
Yeah.
And they were going on about, you know, Irish food producers and everything and whatever.
Irish cheese is great.
Yeah, I like
it. Cheese is great. It's not French cheese. It's not like, you know... I don't know, fillet of goose wrapped in it or whatever they do. But I don't know what they do, where it's like stinky and smart. But it's lovely cheese, you know.
Yeah.
We have a lovely sense of bland over here, you know. We do bland shit better than anybody. Cheese that barely tastes like cheese, but still somehow is lovely.
I suppose
bread
when
that barely tastes like bread, but still somehow is lovely, you know.
When your national food is effectively
a potato.
Beige.
Yes, everything we love, everything we're good at is beige. Isn't it?
Well, it's just not bad. I don't know. I mean, in fairness, there's great meats, I'm sure, and everything. But I'm just saying, if you're national...
Even a lot of them is beige.
If your national dish is beige, kind of... if
you're looking at an Irish plate, a beige turkey, beige potatoes, beige sauce, That could be anything.
Yeah.
And then
we serve it on a white plate so that it's indistinguishable.
Exactly. Look at a rat. Look at a breakfast even. Beige sausages and all. We love beige. We love it. We love a taste of beige.
I mean, slagging about beige sausages, I sadly had two of them the other day.
Oh, you did, yeah.
You let me down.
You got two rashers that were like raw farmer's ears lying on the plate.
I don't want to name the place, because in fairness, we've had good breakfast there before and probably will again.
It's just right around the corner from where we are now, I'll tell you that much.
But I'm just saying, on this particular occasion, something went desperately, desperately wrong. I mean, I swear to God, the bacon, and there was a lot of it on the plate, believe it or not. And it, honest to God, it looked like it had just been run under a hot tap.
Yeah.
I mean, the fat was still white.
Ah, the raw.
Yeah.
Ears.
And you know me. Now, this will tell you, right? Because you know me better than anybody, right? Do I ever create anything that even resembles a fuss?
No, never. No way. Right. No, I'd say he put the rashers back in his pocket and walked out.
So for me to pick up the nerve to say, sorry, the bacon's very underdone
or
whatever.
It's a very hard thing to do.
So that'll tell you inedible.
Yeah,
or inedible.
Whatever, it's the same thing.
Yeah, whatever version.
Unedible is... there's no reason why the word is not unedible.
And like, then the other thing was the sausages, right?
Yeah.
It was one of them where, like, it's like they'd been cooked on one side and they forgot to turn them over.
No, oh, yeah, so disgusting.
Your beige sausage reference wasn't far off the mark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, disgusting. Yeah, yeah. But there you go. But it's very rare, in fairness, in Ireland that happens, you know.
Yeah.
Because even a shit sausage is mostly a good sausage. It's like shit chips. There's no such thing as shit chips. They're just chips that aren't as good as other chips.
Yeah.
Even day old from the Chinese, found them at the bottom of the bin with some crispy bits, stick them in the microwave for 2 seconds, eat them, chips are still not shit chips. You know, yeah. There's no such thing as shit chips. There's no such thing as a shit sausage. You can eat a sausage raw and probably survive it and think you did a good thing.
You never have to worry about, if you know, when people go abroad and they don't do the rashers right, or they don't do the sausage or whatever.
No,
that doesn't bother you. You'd
because
I just find when I go abroad or whatever, breakfast times.
Yeah,
and even if they
never eat what we have for breakfast. Yeah, the way I eat what they have.
But that's what I was just going to say. If they do have, you know, generally speaking, bacon and eggs are a staple loads of places.
Yeah,
and sometimes they'll bash on a sausage.
Yeah,
that won't be the same.
Ah, no, but I'd have it just to say it.
Yeah.
I pick it up and take a bite and go, shite. It's just something to do. It's like a ritual.
As you say,
it's a ritual.
It's not shite. It's just, I don't know,
different.
Herby or just different.
It's just different.
Whatever.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
Different.
And that's it's like the way we went on about
that's
the
Irish attitude.
Rolls.
Different is shite. Yeah.
We did that. Didn't we, with the sausage rolls?
Yeah, we did, yeah. Oh, we did.
We didn't
know
what was in them. Turns out they were a Christmas mix. Mix or
something. They were doing a Christmas mix in the spa. Would you get over yourself with a Christmas mix? Just give us the sausage we want.
But literally,
rather than
going, oh, we got the wrong flavour or whatever, we immediately went into,
shite.
Oh,
they're shite. Shite. They're so bad they're vegan, I said.
Yeah. The shop had to explain it and then give us other free ones.
They came back. The shop came to us because we were giving out so much on the radio about it. Yeah. That they came back to us.
Talk about entitled.
I know.
Can't believe we went in there and ordered the wrong flavoured sausage rolls.
Yeah, you bastards.
Why didn't somebody stop us?
What are you doing making an effort for? And they gave us 6 tea cakes and all to say thank you. And 4 bottles of water. Which is obviously a hint to cleanse your palates, lads. Jesus Christ, try something different. You know, the world won't end if something tastes slightly different every so often, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, you don't want things slightly different, you know, with comfort food. You want it exactly as you expect it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you go to fancy restaurants and stuff, you try something new and they say, would you like, I don't know, chicken a la farce? You go, grand, give us a chicken a la farce, I'll give it a go. And you're willing to take a punt, knowing it'll be nice regardless.
Yeah.
But when it comes to your comfort food, it's the reason you order the same fucking Chinese every time you get a Chinese, because you know what you want, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to experiment.
Yeah.
You have to, like, guess what's familiar to you. And then, you know, and indulge and then feel like a big old fat pig and enjoy yourself.
Because I wouldn't, and I know you're definitely not, I wouldn't think of myself as somebody who'd be, you know, if I did go away, like you, I'd want to try, well, what's some of the local stuff and what do they eat here and what way do they have that?
I love
whatever,
all that,
right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to do a bit of that.
Depends on where I am.
Occasionally, though, as you say, there's certain things and you do turn into that person that says things, well, okay, I hope I never actually utter the phrase, but you do turn into that person that's likely to say, that's not as good as his home, is it?
No.
Or whatever.
No, yeah, you're there. That's brutal.
You know,
it depends where you are, though. If I'm in Spain or France, I want to try all their stuff. If I'm in Hungary or something like that.
Hungary?
And they're like, would you like a bowl of beef goulash? And no, you're all right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
You wouldn't get stuck into it?
Well, I wouldn't be as experimental,
you were like in Asia and everything.
Yeah. And like that, I've had quite a lot of fails, depending where I was. Asia was great.
Yeah.
Well, some of it was. Some places. Some of the places I was in China when I bought a packet of crisps, thinking it was a packet of crisps in the train, and then it turned out it was duck tongues. I was like, oh, Jesus.
That doesn't
sound... That kind of caught... that was like, oh.
But were they at least crispy?
They were, yeah.
No, I'll give them a go. So.
But I still didn't want... They were still disgusting.
I'll give them a go, though. They were crispy.
Like giving a duck a Frenchie. Like giving a thirsty duck a Frenchie. Absolutely disgusting.
I'm trying to think of in the places I've been, have I ever had anything that was like, oh my God. Actually, don't something. I remember having borscht soup. You know, the Russian borscht soup. Whatever. That was weird, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't... I mean,
Russia
it was just,
doesn't
was,
strike me as a place with incredible cuisine.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like... So obviously the basis of it is beetroot, I think, is it? Or something like that. It's red anyway.
Is that, yeah, I don't know.
And then just the stuff that was in it was like, it just looked like somebody had swept up and kind of, you know, emptied it into the bowl.
Sawdust and all. Just to fill your stomach.
I'm sure it wasn't that, but, you know, whatever. And they did, they had it. There was a lot of stuff, and now it's a lot of years since I was there, but there was a lot of stuff covered in that sort of weird jelly thing. Those dishes that
See,
were, I guess this was in,
this
was in
I can't
posh hotels,
get my head around. Yeah.
You know, and like it was whatever. And I was just, you know, the way, this is a terrible thing to say. Remember in the old days when they did tins of dog food? As opposed to nowadays, everything's bags and dry food and whatever. It used to be tins.
Cans.
And
you
there'd
can
be a
still
weird,
get them, yeah.
There'd be a weird jelly around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, disgusting, yeah.
It's kind of a bit like that.
Why did they do that? What is going on in Russia? That's delicious. What does it need? Jelly spit. Well, God forbid anyone fully enjoy themselves, you know.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was a preservative or something, in fairness. Because, I mean, look, it was a lot of years ago. I'm sure it's probably better now. But they have McDonald's. Well, they have McDonald's anyway.
Yeah, but they're brilliant. I don't care who you are with that McDonald's thing as well. That kicks in sometimes. Sometimes you're away and you're on your own. And the hassle, you're like, Jesus, the hassle now. Going and finding a place, sitting in a restaurant on your own or whatever like that. And you think, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to sit down. I won't understand the menu to be... Vol-a-vent de trollop or something. I'll be like, I don't know what to do.
Vol-a-vent de trollop.
Yeah. And I'll be like, what's
it's basically
that?
A vol-a-vent. It's just, it's served by a very loose lady.
I wasn't going there, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
And then they like, yeah. And then you just, I mean, you walk out in the street and you go, I can't be. And then you see the golden arches.
Yeah.
And you do think to yourself, I know. It's familiar. I know what I'm getting into, you know.
Yeah.
And you walk in, you see that they always have a special burger that's different to what you have at home. They're like, you know, they'll always have something like that. In New Zealand, they might have a beetroot burger, or in, you know, Paris, they might have, I don't know, a frog patty or something.
I'll tell
like
you
that.
What they have in the French ones, beer.
Well, there you go. You get a beer.
You get a beer in a McDonald's in France.
There you go. Because they're not head cases, you know. They can be trusted to have a beer. You can't be trusted around blue cheese, by all accounts.
That's true.
It can be trusted around beer.
Thieves when it comes to blue cheese.
And you see all these burger specials they do, and you never order them. You just go, oh, look at that. And you tell everyone about them. You know, you come back and go, what you get to eat? I got a Big Mac, but you know, they'll have a...
Yeah.
The blue cheese burger in France is amazing.
Yeah.
Did you have it? No. Great picture, though, of the blue cheese. Yeah.
They always have something kind of... It's synonymous with that country or whatever.
A lot of them do. Sometimes they come and they go. But
it just goes to show, doesn't it?
Like we had the Shamrock Shake. It was the
consistency is, you know. There's
a hell of a thing.
You know, for whatever people give out about it, like the fact of the matter is you know exactly.
You get what you want.
And that's what you also say about happiness is ultimately just getting your expectation.
Yeah.
If you only expect it to be all right and you get it,
you're
and
always
it's all
happy.
Right, you're happy.
If you expect something to be amazing and it's not, you go, this is shit.
Yeah.
It's not shit, it's just not amazing.
It's like, yeah, when you go
it's
to
not
the
shit.
Michelin star or something. And
you get
something and it's maybe not to your taste. And you turn around and you go, oh,
that's shite. Chef's drunk.
You know,
it's not shite. It's as good as it gets. It's just not the best meal you could have had that day, or not the best plate even in that service.
Or just not right for your taste.
Yeah, you just don't like it. It doesn't mean it's shite.
Yeah.
Again, but that's what people do. Shite, innit?
Yeah.
You won't like it. It's disgusting. Something I like that.
I'd rather have a fish finger sandwich. You're I'm sure you would. And that's lovely on a certain day.
Yeah, it's grand, but not here. You know, and they will enjoy a fish finger sandwich more because they know what to expect from a fish finger sandwich.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm all for the old kind of, oh, mind you, I haven't said that. I say that I'm all for the idea of kind of, you know, sampling or whatever. But there's still stuff that, like you said, which are, you know, you're not going to go for your goulash or whatever.
No.
Hungary, as you put it. There's still You know me and my hang-ups about seafood stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, I do. Yeah, exactly.
Sure. I say seafood things, basically for some reason, it tends to be only the fish.
He's like, I don't like seafood. And you go, do you not? No, no, but I like prawns and I like cod and I like salmon and I like herring and I like...
And I like lobster and...
And he names off everything.
Crab is and then nice
like,
as well.
So you don't like whale. That's what you're saying. Just say I don't like whale. I wouldn't eat whale. That's all you have to say is I don't eat whale.
The problem is I have this massive hang-up about fish bones. They absolutely would ruin a meal
well
for me.
A whale bone. It'd be like a imagine walking around with that thing.
I think you've got a bone stuck in your tooth.
Hi. Yeah, it's all my mouth. I can't get it out of my mouth. Full of shies in the bastard thing. I've been eating the fucking thing for 2 days. I can't get rid of it. The smell of fish off me.
I'm sorry to mention this. Unbelievable. The ridicule I suffer.
He also doesn't eat seals. These are the only things. These are the seafood he doesn't like. You'll never see Jim coming in with a seal under his arm. You go, what's that for? It's me lunch, you fucking idiot.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Something we've kind of always said on this show, acknowledged on this show, is that life just seems to be easier for the beautiful people.
It is.
You know what I mean? We always kind of feel that if, you know, the beautiful people, they just seem to have easier career paths and things seem to happen for them and get done for them and all that sort of stuff. But hope is at hand.
Apparently so. Apparently, it is once again, this story comes round and around. And it is time again at this time of year where they say, research, new research, current research, random research of a lunatic, as far as I'm concerned, shows that women do indeed, given the option, go for a funny, ugly fella over a gorgeous, boring fella.
Right.
And this is apparent, well, I don't even say boring, just a regular, gorgeous fella. Is in the halfpenny place when it comes to a hilarious fella that's not good looking hardly at all.
Surely it's a given anyway that if somebody's, you know, gorgeous, they're bound to be vacuous and boring anyway, aren't they?
Well, you see, this is the other unfair stereotype. But we're focusing on one that's more along our own
narrative. Yes, I may have a slight edge to it. So what of it?
Yeah, so, but that's what they say. They say, again, once again, it's been proven, apparently, that, you know, it's not that time and time again, women just go for very funny fellas rather than the fellas who look fantastic. And that you can see the evidence of your eyes should be able to prove that to you.
So that's a different version of fugly, really, isn't it? Fun and ugly.
Funny and ugly, yeah. Proper fugly.
That's the real fugly.
I hear this an awful lot, right? And I know that if you look at a lot of people that we all know, Jim, you would look at people and say, how in the name of God did he get whore and everything? And I see that.
Right.
But at the same time, I just struggle to see those situations, you know, those situations where you're like, there's a woman and she's sitting there and her friends go, which one of them fellas is yours? And she goes, oh, it's your man over there. See the fella there, his ears are on totally different levels. And he's telling all the jokes.
Right.
You know, see the fella over there.
Struggle with the idea that that's kind of where it's at.
Yeah, see a man over there that looks like a heap of
or
jackets.
If there was two of them, yeah. And it's that lad over there, and they went, oh my God, he's absolutely gorgeous. Look at him, he's tall, dark, handsome. It's absolutely, you're lucky. No, it's the fella beside him.
Yeah, no, lad, yeah. See the fella that looks like he took off his coat and left it on the chair? It's that fella.
Right.
I just struggle to think that it's maybe in the growing sense of the word that you kind of go, no, he's not just a funny looking fella, he's actually a funny fella.
Yeah. But, in fairness, I suppose it depends. If you get to the stage where you can get to know somebody, I'm sure, and you find out that they're funny and you know, all the other things that whatever, it's just when if you look at them and you go, oh God, you know, he gets a bit of a fright.
Yeah, come on, Jim.
Like it's hard to get.
Why
to the
did
stage.
You just shave half your face?
It's hard to get to the stage where you find out they're funny. Just mean, or to be allowed to get to the stage where you prove you're funny.
I guess that's a big part of it as well. You have to get in the door. That's why you have to make an effort. Yeah. You have to get in the door.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I absolutely want to believe this research.
Yeah,
It'd play to our strengths.
Well, it'd play to some strengths. I remember somebody saying, we did a story a while ago, you know, we're trying to look at the examples and the percentages then. Mm. And someone says, well, PJ, I mean, look at yourself. You're a comedian there and famously being offered parts of the fat body fella and not the best looking fellas. You've been offered many parts that were like gangsters, drug dealers, you know, people who are definitely prone to be the stranger looking into society.
Yeah, particular end of society.
And says, but you still manage to have people in your life and you're, you know, cruising on funny. To which Jim pointed out, I haven't been funny for years.
I don't remember saying anything of the sort.
You don't? No. Do you not? Remember, a few quotes from Jim McCabe. Hey, Peter, remember when you used to do comedy? Remember when you used to be funny? Would you not do some real acting now? You're not funny anymore. Remember all these ones?
You obviously took it the wrong way. I obviously meant that now that you're established in most people's mind as a radio legend, they might have forgotten that you used to be funny.
See? Used to be forgot you used to be funny.
Anyway, look, we're going off the point here, right? Yeah. The fact of the matter is that the research is saying that funny and ugly is a winner.
Funny and ugly is a winner. That's what they say, yeah.
And I don't believe it. I want to believe it. I don't really believe it. I still think that, you know, funny and ugly, you're still going to lose out to the...
the gorgeous people.
To the lad who looks like he walked off the cover of GQ or whatever, you know.
I look like a good-looking fella that sort of melted a bit.
Right.
Do you know that way?
Yeah.
It's like,
at one stage it was very, you know, sharp and well-defined.
Yeah.
And then it all got a bit blurry.
It sort of melted a bit. And one ear went down. And the chesticles, they sort of just look like they were candles. Have like sort of candle boobs now and they're kind of, you know, the pants and the
Actually, do I remember, once upon a time, did you have a specific nickname for
that? Yes, I did, yeah.
Oh.
Because the...
Is it repeatable?
I don't know. Well, Candle Tits McSackacans is what I got called by somebody.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Did you hear that thing that Brona was talking about in the news this morning, right? This thing about the Suez.
The Suez.
Why have I never heard of this before?
She said it was
originally from 2006.
Yes, it was a thing from 2006. It sort of made a resurgence then around 2017. People saying, whatever happened to that plan?
Dead in the water.
And now it's back again. Someone's saying it's not dead. It's not dead. The Suez may still happen. I'd say there's more chance now.
It's dead over the water.
Dead over the water, So basically the idea was to have the Suez cable cars.
I will say it's a good name.
It is a great name.
Yeah.
It is a great name.
Yeah.
But all things considered, I think a wild idea, let's be honest.
I'm not sure I fully get it, because based on what Brona was saying, it would go from roughly where we are.
Yeah, here at the Tree Arena.
Up to Houston Station.
Right along the top of the Liffey.
Okay.
Yeah. Cable cars, four giant towers that would take it
cable
over.
Cable cars, right? So obviously,
they say
individual
they can do
people.
Yeah, well, I don't know about individual people.
Well, like that. Who else? What else are you going to transport in it?
Well, hopefully, you'd get three or four people in, or five.
Obviously, no. I meant individual, as in you're not putting a car in it or something, or you're not shifting freight in it.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant just one, like to be the size of like a lift.
No,
yeah.
I meant like, you know, so it'd be like a Lewis tram going over the Liffey.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. And you go and you build it in 2 years. There's not a hope in hell they would build anything in 2 years in this city.
Absolutely.
Not a hope in high flying hell they would do it in that long.
I mean, look, I get it. You know, if you're stuck in traffic, if you're driving, the keys now are an absolute. I can't even use the words that I would choose to use.
I know, and parts of them are closed off.
Like the way the one way stuff is, and the way it's a nightmare. The keys in the city centre are absolute. Like disgrace. Right?
Oh, I know you can't. You're not even allowed on.
But it's like putting the cable car over the Liffey isn't going to help that bit.
I don't really think it will. No,
the Lewis runs most of that just distance anyway, doesn't it? It goes to Connolly, doesn't it?
It goes to Connolly, and then you can get another one. Like it's not an unbearable feat to figure that one out.
It just seems like an unusual A to B. That's all I'm saying. Unless is it a tourist thing? Dublin by air.
See Dublin. From the height of the shoulders of a regular person. Look in the windows of the buildings as you pass by from one floor up.
Right.
Is that it? Or is it as well?
How high would it be, actually?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's not going to be higher than the buildings, is it? I mean, it's going to be as high as the buildings. It's going to be as... You'd just be a floor up or two floors up, would you?
I don't know.
Going along over the Liffey.
It's just I've never...
And then health and safety will kick in. It'll be going as quick as a fella walking anyway. You'll be a lad looking up at you going, did you pay €4 being there? You know, you could walk it in half the time.
Yeah.
If you just get out now, you'll be there quicker.
I'm assuming it is some sort of touristy. A bit like the... Remember we were on the boat that brings you from one side of the Liffey to the other.
That, yes. I don't think that's going anymore, is it?
Well, yeah.
Because the idea was you got the... It was an old boat and you... It's an old service that was there for ages. And because there wasn't a bridge between those two...
Yeah. You could get on...
You could go down and they would bring you every 15 minutes to be a boat.
Yeah.
And we did it and everything was great.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point that people weren't using it. So you had to call the boat. And then you could call the boat and it was €2 or whatever. But it took... You know, by the time the boat got there and you got on, you got off to... You could have just walked around one of the bridges.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's still going. It was a great idea, but the practicalities of things in Dublin, everything is just such an ordeal in the end.
Yeah. Like they both of those things, in terms of the boats and even the cable car, they do sound like things that you might choose to do if you'd already got time in your hands. If you weren't, you know,
exactly.
If it wasn't a deadline or you weren't in a hurry and you were just taking it easy and it was all very casual. You know,
it will
so
never
that's
be
why
that.
I'm assuming it's a tourist thing.
It'll never be that. It'll honestly, it, and you know, like you said, you won't save time. Health and safety, you'll get, you'll go there, you'll go, I'll just get the cable car. I haven't time to walk. And they go, no problem. Here's your helmet. We'll have to just give you a 10-minute introduction course on how not to be an idiot and how not to fall off a thing.
Yeah.
Here's your harness. If you don't know how to put on your harness, Derek over there will help you fasten your safety issues. Then we'll believe there's 16 stops along the way if anyone would like to get out.
That would be amazing, wouldn't
that'd
it?
That'd be it,
wouldn't
it?
But that's the other thing, yeah. Stops.
You have to have stops, yeah. You know, I wanted to get off on O'Connell Bridge. I'm sorry. You'll have to get to Lewis back.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
You know, the old cold, it does make you yearn for the warmth of the bed.
Oh,
it?
Yeah.
You know, when it's chilly like that, the idea of kind of snuggling up and all that sort of carry on. But what if you're one of those people who, even if you take to the bed, she can't get a wink of sleep?
Can't get a wink of sleep. You're worrying about things. Decisions. Oh, my God. The anxiety and stress of having options in your life. Some people hate options. If you don't mind me saying, Jim McCabe is a man who hates his options.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
It's like
you do think you'd like to have options, but sometimes...
Until you get them.
There can be just too much choice.
Until you get them, right? Until you get them. And there's a list of the decisions that we dread the absolute most in our lives. When it comes to normal stuff, like,
right.
You know, obviously it's not like, you know, your life and your hands moments, but the decisions we dread, everyone gets. And
day-to-day type stuff.
Day-to-day type stuff. Some people, like, believe it or not, in the top five is driving, whether you should drive a car or not. You know when you look out and you go, how am I supposed to get to town? Oh, jeez. Will I drive a car or will I get the bus? Or will I just sit there in hell?
Yeah.
Or will I just sit beside a stranger? Or
I
will
I
just know that it's going to take 3 hours and you overthink it to oblivion?
Yeah. I kind of get it though. It can be like that. You know, if the choice is...
Where will I park?
Do I, yeah, exactly.
What will I do if I get there? And then if I do get there, will I be starving?
You know, traffic, am I going to be sitting in traffic for hours?
Oh, I'll be bursting for the toilet. Oh, gee. You know, it's
versus, oh, God, if I have to wait for a bus or if I have to wait for a thing.
And you go, with the bus getting in, I then have to call. If I come back, how will I know if it's coming back and everything? I have to make, if it's every hour or something, then we'll have to kill the time. And you know, it sounds so simple, but it's up there. And the number one... is and it makes a lot of sense to me if you think about it, is whether you should accept a new job or not. So people go, a lot of people really, really want to change, or they think they want to change jobs, right? And then they get offered a new job, they go, yeah, ah, suckers, I'm out of here. And then what do? They start going, is my actual job really that bad though?
What?
And then I have to be doing, and they think I'm going to be the new kid in school. And what if I actually hate the new job and it's not what it's cracked up to be? And you have to do the whole, when you walk in and they're going, okay, everybody, this is Jim. Say hello to Jim. Jim's going to be joining our team. And immediately you're like, oh my God, I shouldn't have taken this job.
I wouldn't have thought of that one now. For a start, it wouldn't strike me as a day-to-day one, really. It's not like you get
something that happens.
You know, but the
something
way thing is, surely
you
kind of apply for it in the first place.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean...
It's not like a spontaneous thing that... Well, I mean,
yeah, but
maybe you do. You constantly get phone calls going, hi, PJ, we'd like to give you a lot of money. Would you like to come and just do something for us, anything at all? We'll just give you lots of money and
I can
come along and do it. Just talk about yourself or something, anything at all.
I can absolutely promise you no one's ever rang me and says, would you like to do anything for money?
But for the rest of us, normally you'd have to apply for the job and want to go for the job and stuff.
But that's not the point. The point is as soon as you get offered it, you go,
really?
I don't know if I want to. Yeah.
God,
people
freak
out.
Even me now, in my indecisive past, that wouldn't strike me as one of them now.
Yeah, look
if
at
I'd
that.
Gone for it, it'd be
I
like,
suppose.
Jim, I'm here, I'm taking over.
It's different though for you. You'll be there. Is PJ going to be there? Be there? No, Grant, I'll take it. Take it. No problem. Deal done. Emigration is another
yeah, but it's
one.
Half your salary. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't want to be paid, actually.
just take me away. Will
give
you?
Me a sausage roll a day and a hug. That's all I want.
So what else yeah. is in there now?
And then there's like investing money. Like if you have a few quid, some you might come into a couple of quid. Not even big, mad money. A few grand gets left to you.
Right.
You're like, oh, what do I do with that? Well, I'd be like, what do I spend it on? Easy come,
well,
easy
just go.
Got
to say, yeah.
But then a few
investment.
People, like, do I push it into a thing? Or that's a scary one now. And then you spend half of it asking for financial advice that's probably worth less than the money you had in the first place. And that freaks people out. And one that's on the list that kind of makes me wonder, right, is getting married. So obviously, someone
again,
asks you to marry them and you go,
not so much just day-to-day stuff, really.
Well, you'd wonder, like, you either really, really want to do it, oh, you really, really shouldn't.
Yeah.
There's two that there's not really do one. It's just you really you're like if you go
it might be all, if you're going into your bed, it might be all right.
I suppose you won't know until you give it a go.
I'm not sure that's the way to go into it. You know.
Yeah. So let's see how we get on.
If you think you're making a mistake, that's nearly something in itself, really.
You never know. We might like get used to each other or something like that.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
We discovered this thing about niche jobs, right? Those kind of jobs that like are very limited. You know, it's not like your average kind of whatever trade or whatever, right? And this one, I'd have to say, the one that was used as an example, I thought was an absolute belter.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because there is a man whose job is to sell lighthouses.
He's a lighthouse salesman.
Now,
believe it or not.
People will turn around and immediately assume in the sort of estate agent kind of way.
No.
That if you've got a lighthouse and you need to sell it, he's the man.
No, he goes around to places and he recommends they should have one. He goes, see that bit of cliff there now? Anything. Anything could happen over there.
Now, that is the definition of a truly niche job.
Isn't it
so
really?
You're actually selling the concept
of
a lighthouse to
goes,
a place.
Yeah, look at that. I came in the boat this morning, as I do everywhere I go, me being a lighthouse salesman, I nearly killed myself on the rock over there. You definitely need a lighthouse. I can design one for you and have it built and everything.
It just
and local council say, yeah.
That you have to pitch the idea of a lighthouse.
Doesn't
normally,
it?
You know, it's something that comes about after, you know, how many boats have we lost out there on the rocks kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he comes up and goes, come here, are you after losing all them boats in the rocks? And you didn't even think about doing anything. You just have a fella standing there.
When I heard it, it immediately made me think of the monorail guy in The Simpsons.
It is like
selling
that,
them
it?
A monorail.
Maybe that's what happened in Kells. You know the way there's a lighthouse in Kells in the middle of nowhere near the sea?
Yeah, it was landlocked.
Landlocked, yeah. Maybe your man was there. He goes, yeah, I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
You know what you're missing here is a lighthouse so you could just watch people at the shops up in the town.
If there's anybody in Kells who remembers how the lighthouse arrives, you can let us know.
Let us know.
That's, I mean, that's mad.
Yeah, yeah. And that's and there's other people, like one person, his job was to maintain antique church clocks around the country. And that's it, just the clocks in the churches around the country.
Right.
So it's very well paid. Whatever it is about the church clock variety of clock that there is, that he's very well paid for. He says he's delighted with himself.
There's a few really weird ones as well, isn't there? What's the guy with the squash court?
Yeah, a construction industry just for... He's a squash court plasterer. So he doesn't plaster anything other than squash courts. He says the special type of plaster, and very few people are able to do it. It's real hard wearing plaster, obviously, because the ball will be taken off, and the walls are so high.
So you can't just get in your average ordinary plaster.
No, you can't. You joke.
They're not up to the task.
No, the place would be in tatters. Yeah, there'd be white dust and stuff all over the place. I might get him in just for me gaff so I can throw the remote control around if I'm in a bad mood.
There's also one as well, and we had to make sure we did this story after 9 o'clock when hopefully a lot of little ears are already ensconced in schools and creches and whatever.
Is this the sexy chicken man?
Well, no, I hadn't even thought of the sexy chicken man. This is the man who has to go around collecting
stuff from
animals.
Yeah, he collects something from an animal that...
to breed other animals, really.
Yeah, to breed other animals.
It's an emission.
An animal has to be very excited to get it.
And he is the collector. What's his, what's the job called, though? He's some sort of, like...
I really don't know how... Like, yeah, her... Well, it's... yeah, his motto is, have bookers, will travel, is his motto, he says. And goes all over. And zoo
but
animals...
This is to stop them
he works for zoo
them
animals.
Going extinct and stuff,
stop them going
it?
Extinct.
So he goes somewhere, collects the...
The stuff, yeah.
From an animal.
Yeah.
And then brings it back.
And he brings it back and then they have... Maybe one day another one of them on another animals or something like this.
So, right, okay. So
yeah.
Now we've sorted him out. What's the story with the sexy chicken man?
The sexy chicken, his job is to make chickens look sexy, he says. Now, it's like, yeah, he calls himself a chicken sexer. Yeah, and well, it's not to look chickens look. He's a chicken sexer. He looks at a chicken when they're born and he knows what sex it is.
Oh.
So he can separate them.
Oh, right.
So to say he's the sexy chicken man.
That's much less impressive than the sexy chicken man.
It is.
You predicted.
It is, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There you go. And then there's another person, an underwater repairman. Isn't that amazing? So he goes...
What, for oil rigs and stuff?
Swimming pools. Not even nearly as interesting as oil rigs.
What?
Yeah. Changing bulbs and all or whatever it is. If there's a crack in a tile and everything.
But can they, surely, could they not just empty the swimming
pool? What a waste of water. You can get your man to go in and... I nearly said the snuggle togs. What the hell are snuggle togs? I meant to say scuba diving.
I think you're thinking more of the sexy chicken man again. But so why can't they just
give me
like,
me snuggle
let
togs
the water out and then do whatever the repairs need to be done?
No,
I, mean, I thought you were talking the North Sea or something like where you couldn't.
No, you don't. Too much water. Too much water. You, it's an awful waste. He comes on and he does the whole thing without even having to change the
pool. So he goes in and changes a light bulb underwater.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of these jobs are mad. There's a fella here who just says he talks crap for a living every day for 4 hours with his friends. I don't know what that's about. But I like it.
Trevor Paul says, I used to deliver the collection apparatus for the animal breeder guy. The collection apparatus.
Collection apparatus. Was that...
You're on your own here, buddy. I'm not sticking any sort of names on that.
Was it inflatable? And did it look like an animal?
You've been listening to Glory Days. The best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.